This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning and welcome to Free Left Turn here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, g'day, guys. How's it going?
Like the weather.
Melancholy.
Dank. Dank.
Moist.
Dank. Yeah.
not too cold, but...
Yeah.
So.
That's the weather forecast.
we did have a couple of bright spots during the week, though.
Yeah.
We had extremes. Had fog on Wednesday and Thursday, I think it was, and then
once it cleared up.
Yeah.
What is it, Fred? About us?
Huh?
Three old coots giving advice.
Oh, yeah.
Three old farts.
Yeah, there was a meme floating around, and was a tent with these old guys having a beer, etc., sitting there going, "What is it? Free advice, not necessarily correct or something." Yeah, from these old coot society.
That's probably what the manager probably thinks of us here.
Yeah.
It's been a busy old week for me. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been busy.
Yeah, I've been challenged there.
Yeah.
More ways than one.
Yeah. How do you drop it though? You know, when you get I always found that when I was budget advising, you get some people you can help, some you just there's no way. You know, you just can't fix it. How do you shake that off in your private life?
It's rather difficult. It can be difficult. Especially because there's a lot of emotion involved.
Of course there is. From
the client side.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know that. You know, you're a human being, so it always used to get me. I think, oh, how can I help this person? And I'll take it home. You know. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Some of those things had to be wrapped up at home yesterday by phoning. Otherwise, it would just hang around.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we got rid of it. So
do you go out the park and walk around once backwards or something? Like
that? I'm walking backwards.
walking backwards. Hopping across the other side of the bed.
Across the Irish Sea.
Yeah.
That's what I don't do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. What do you got in the almanac?
Almanac, the 24th of August. So I haven't marked the damn page, have I? The 24th of August. Let's go backwards. We're not that far into the date.
Oh. It's quite you go online and Google what happened today. There's heaps of different sites put out what happened today. Right.
Yeah, I think Bothworth Field happened on the 23rd of August.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, is that where Richard got
his come down.
And he was the guy found under the car park quite recently.
Yeah. Parking attendant.
Yeah. For how many hundred years? Yeah.
Yeah, they were looking for the lost worker.
Was he found with any jewellery or anything?
No, that would have disappeared. They would have stripped them off rather quickly when they did. But was he defeated?
Was he? And that's
there was a couple of turncoats.
Okay, was that Cromwell time or where?
No, way before, weren't
it? Way before.
What? You're talking about 1400s, isn't it?
1485.
Okay, but what do they call it? DNA'd him and said it was definitely him.
Because the skeleton had the.
The curvature. Oh, okay. Yeah, and there was quite a bit of mutilation to the body.
Okay.
24th of August.
I imagine, just on that, I imagine in those times you were either shot with an arrow or a spear or something. There wouldn't have been a lot of instant kills.
No, there wouldn't
no, no, you know, you would have been infections.
You would have sliced and diced and crushed, and it would have been quite painful, I would have thought, you know.
Yeah. Not if you were with the Bannockburn, that's the other battle in Scotland.
Yeah.
Where Robert the Bruce, there was a one-on-one challenge between Robert the Bruce and some English knight, and he basically cleaved them down this way.
Who?
Robert the Bruce cleaved this.
Oh,
English,
he got
him. Yeah. So he would have pretty well died instantly.
Okay.
Enough said of that. 1800.
Right.
A group of enslaved people led by Gabriel, an enslaved blacksmith, gathered in West Central Virginia, intending to recruit others for an insurrection planned for August the 30th. They had hatched an extremely ambitious plan to march on Richmond.
Gabriel was a slave?
Yeah, Gabriel was a enslaved.
So that means black American?
Captured the capital and hold the governor hostage to negotiate freedom for enslaved people. Unfortunately, the plot was betrayed and 26 of the participants executed, but the struggle against slavery continued.
Okay.
Depending on how he was executed.
Ongoing story, exploitation
of people. And 2011, against the backdrop of a militant student movement, the Workers United Centre of Chile, or the CUT, called a nation 2-day strike. As many as 600,000 people took to the streets, and the police responded by arresting 750. Injuring many more and killing one 16-year-old boy. A few days later, the government caved into key demands of the movement and prohibited state funding for-profit educational institutions.
And that's all been clawed back home.
Under
so-called austerity measures for the hoi polloi and for the rich, they just life is good.
I better mark the page this way for next time.
Which kind of echoes what's going on over here, really, isn't it? Well, everywhere now.
Yeah, austerity.
Austerity for thee, not for me.
The tragedy. The austerity is only for.
It's just, can't fight back.
For struggles for,
right here too. Particularly those on benefits too.
Because they've got this traffic light system now, haven't they? Beneficiaries and for emergency housing.
Yes, and there was that question that was asked of our so-called MP for Hamilton West around where these children went to.
Was there an answer?
Not really.
No.
He avoided it.
The media didn't push it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem.
Pretty disgusting, really, eh?
What do you think of this, our industrious leader, Mr. Luxon, sorry. You've got
the wrong...
I've been sitting with you too long, Craig. What do you think of his go at the... what's he talking about?
Local government.
My initial response was, what an arrogant hypocrite. But the rationale behind that comment was, well, you say that council's core business is infrastructure and shouldn't indulge in wasting money on white elephants.
And people who speak out against it have said the government has not given any examples as to how they could go this way. Follow their suggestions.
One argument for this city could be the theatre in town, the regional theatre, the Claudelands Event Centre.
Or the Hamilton Gardens.
Could be the arguments about white elephants, for example. But I think the key...
And the race circuit for the... they built the race circuit and then it didn't work. What was the racing series they had? We spent a fortune on that.
That nonsense.
Oh, it's the cycling.
Yeah.
Cambridge Way, isn't it?
No, it was here. They had the racing cars and then it didn't work.
Oh, I see. That
was
racing.
An embargo.
But he says he was lecturing councillors about wasteful spending.
Without coming up with any suggestions how they can meet their targets.
So my thing, what other things is he talking about? Is he talking about when councils support a cultural event? Yeah. Or, for example, like, say, maybe the LPG, maybe Christmas in the Park.
Yeah.
or it may be a cult, a specific cultural event. Yeah. They put their name to the tag. Their name to we support this. We sponsor some of the part. We sponsored the dais for the performance, for example.
Yeah.
Or the we support.
So you could read that he wants those sort of events not supported.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have it here, and we have the Ethnic Soccer Festival here. Council put their name to that.
Yeah, and let's face it. Initially, you think, stick to the basic. It's got a nice ring to it, and it does make sense. But then there's this big thing called social cohesion, and it's all right for wealthy people like the Prime Minister and his friends to go off to somewhere where there's no poor people, where there's no struggles for, etc. They can have their own display of fireworks off one of the yachts off Waiheke Beach, etc. They can entertain themselves and they can afford it. And probably their companies can put up some money,
etc. So they're in danger of creating
which is tax deductible. Yeah.
So they're in danger of creating a two-tier society.
Yeah, but,
which we
but,
are.
But let's face it, the poor and ordinary folk, we live in these cities. We don't tend to go off to we don't have a beach house at Beachville. We don't have a lake house at Lakesville, you know, or ski chalet. So we're a lot more having to be closer to home. So to have social cohesion, we stick to basics. But yeah, all those things, sports fields. Where do you draw the line on what a council should provide?
Because if you get the population relatively happy, they've got some outlet. It's beneficial to society as a whole.
Well,
less disgruntled people, because they can still do some of the things they like to do. Maybe not all of them, but there's quality of life you're talking about.
Yeah, we have libraries and we have museums. We have swimming pools. We have sports fields. We have walkways. We have cycle tracks. We have all this that. Is that what the Prime Minister considers sort of fringe spending, wasteful spending? Where does he?
Well, it's very unclear, isn't it? He's very vague.
And councils have to spend. Go back to social disorder, etc. Government's policies mean if they are hard, etc. Who pays for the social disorder from them?
No.
Councils.
And then
the people, and in turn, the wider communities. So all very well cracking down on this and doing that and not doing this, who ends up paying for it all?
But this has always been a case, though, that people who make these policies aren't affected by them.
Because they don't live in that society, or that community.
They don't live in those sort of communities.
It kind of spins off to this garden pass for Hamilton Gardens.
Yeah, it is.
The idea was that they're going to start charging people to go to the Hamilton Garden. If you can prove that you're a Hamiltonian resident, you get in for free. But at the end of the argument, these garden passes, which can be collected from various places, will cost you $39, 10% discount for community and super gold card holders. So that's $3.90. Next year it'll be $50. That's a $5 discount, and you'll have to renew it every year. So my question is, how is this free? If you've got to buy the card to get in for free, then it's not free.
And then if you have to replace it.
And you have to replace it each year. You have to update your...
Doesn't make sense, does it?
No, it's a contradiction in terms.
So that's bad reporting? Do you think that's just bad reporting?
I read the whole article and it said, this is Sarah Morecambe, she got a pass. You can do it online, you can go to the gardens or to the ticket booth. And once Hamiltonians apply for their My Garden Pass, either online or they will need to bring proof, which is fair enough, if they're going to start focusing in on people from outside or tourists. Yeah. But how is it free if you've got to buy the pass in the first place?
And how is it free if you've got to renew the pass for money? Yeah.
So it's completely dingo's kidneys.
Well, yeah, because it's like the B card for the buses.
Yeah.
Sure, we had to pay the initial $10 or $12 or whatever it was, but then we don't have to pay any more.
No, we just have to put money on it.
As long as you don't lose it, you just put money on it.
I mean, that's my idea of free or subsidised.
Yeah.
But this
you have to renew it.
It's just crazy, eh? I mean...
Yeah. Well, hopefully they've got the reporters... Hasn't got it quite
right.
She got
a pass, but she's proudly shown in the photograph. But when I first read it, I thought, do I need to go to remedial English reading classes? Because it didn't make any sense.
This is free, but Canada's over your 30
bucks. The whole process is designed to allow for absolute ease and convenience. Yeah, right.
You know what's going to happen, though, with all this and the charges, et cetera? I've always, like the Hamilton Gardens, sure, they are a novelty and all that, but they've gone far too crazy with it.
Well, they now need to consolidate that, because they're building car parks now down, don't go through gate one, go through gate two where the bus goes.
Yeah.
There's more, they need to consolidate, they don't need to expand it anymore.
Well, someone's got on their idea, Empire Building, this will be the, and it is an attraction, to be fair, it is an attraction. But when people say, what do you do in Hamilton? Oh, the gardens are lovely.
But it's also kind of a victim of its own success in terms of parking.
And green fields. Once it used to be nice, your kids could run around and the dog run around and do a doo-doo, et cetera. Now, it's getting more and more spoiled. It's a bit like too many visitors. It's a bit like they say in Spain, you know, the centre of Barcelona.
Yeah, victim of own success. They end up just invaded.
Yeah.
And the locals just get pushed out or disgruntled. Yeah,
but I'm just thinking, what people are asked to pay, are they still going to be as keen to go in?
But of course it's going to be the same group of people who won't be able to benefit from getting this pass to get in for free because they won't be able to afford the pass in the first place.
And it's renewable.
Yeah,
hang on, I'm just...
So it's not just me. I am reading that article correctly. It is a contradiction.
We just need to find out if she's got it wrong.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. That's
when
why I think
when they first moved to this idea, okay, free Hamilton, okay, that seems fair enough. But when the devil's in the details, when you suddenly find out you've got to pay for a pass to get in for free.
That sort of doesn't make sense.
Yeah, free, big question mark.
Yeah, question. Yeah. And you're talking about homeless people. The government's war was. This is an article that appeared in Wednesday's Times of this week, and ministers will warn changes to emergency housing rules could increase homelessness, documents have revealed. One advocate says that this is already happening, with no surprise. In March, the government announced big changes as part of its effort to end the use of emergency housing. And as you pointed out, he was asked what happened to these people that once they were triaged out of emergency, where do they go? And he didn't even answer the question. Homelessness is on the increase in Wellington, says Downtown Community Ministry Director Stephen Turnock, who works with people experiencing homelessness. And he said that he's arguing that they could have genuine reasons why they could be suitable for emergency housing. And someone pointed out, well, the fact they're living on the street surely would count as a reason for that person being given access to.
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, this is Louise Upton and Chris Bishop, involved.
The Prime Minister and his friends have got all spare houses at various beach pools, could open, with the largesse of their heart, they could, according to Nicola Willis, it's up to, people to be benevolent and, show charitable thoughts, They could go and live there.
Yeah, but he just says that people who have multiple risk factors are experiencing a crisis beyond their control and are at risk of current or near-term harm will be able, this is what Tama Pokata says, will be able to temporarily continue access to emergency housing until risk of near-term harm is resolved. I mean, that is just a load of
waffle. Yeah. Austerity for the, not for me.
That's what it says. People sleeping rough had a genuine housing need.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Well, if you're sleeping on the street,
Yeah.
But we'll question this criteria that they've introduced. They're going to triage. So if you don't meet the criteria, even though you're homeless, you may not meet the criteria.
Yeah.
So you end up in a car.
Yeah. Or overcrowding or somewhere.
Well, you end up in the bush.
Or in a park wherever somewhere.
And doing damage in there or whatever
and
else.
And at risk of being attacked and whatever else. The rest of it.
Yeah.
So it just seems crazy, eh, that this is our idea of...
That's the solution, their solution.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit inept.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that's a kind word.
It's a load of dingo's kidneys, isn't it?
Yeah.
Homeless in Masterton.
Mm.
And then are they actually sleeping under there, are they? Yeah. That looks like somebody's set of drawers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I was in Potato yesterday and we were going past some... And there were some homeless people
on the street.
In a car and a van. And I said to my son, what are those guys up to? And they said, oh, they live there. Just sort of... Well, where else they go, you know, if they can't get emergency housing or
whatever.
It'll
be even harder in Petaru, won't it, to get emergency housing?
Because some of the people from Rotorua were sent over to Petaru for emergency housing.
So they've shifted the problem. They haven't solved it, just shifted from one area to another.
They're mixing it around so it doesn't look as bad, I imagine.
Well, that's what they do. You solve the problem by just sort of pushing them out of the way.
Out of sight. Paris Olympics. Yeah. Oh, let's just push them out of the way while we all wine and dine each other.
And this other one caught my eye is the new Chief Human Rights Commissioner, Mr. Stephen Rainbow, who in 2021 made some comment about transgender, and he's an ardent supporter of Israel's war in Gaza, which then raised the question, as far as I'm concerned, isn't there a conflict of interest or stance?
Yeah, human rights.
Yeah,
should be anti-war.
You should be universal.
Yeah,
it should be.
Who appointed it? It was Goldsmith appointed him as head of human rights.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, and he said that. During attack, was it? I'm just trying to find it. No comments were made in 21, urging other gay and queer people to think twice before signing a petition to ban conversion therapy. And Goldsmith said that he shouldn't be held accountable for that comment he made in 21 because we all make comments that we might regret later on. So,
isn't that interesting? Because if you say something anti-Semitic when you're a 16-year-old...
That's dragged up.
And you suddenly apply for something. The Canadian humanitarian has just had to resign.
Yeah.
Because he said something when he was a teenager and they've dragged that back, even though that was ages ago. But on the other side, it's like, oh, well, no, he can make a mistake. That's just, you know, move on.
He stood by that reason of appointing this guy, said that there have been appropriate background checks.
Yeah.
And if we limited ourselves to those who never said anything controversial, the list would be very small.
Mm. Sounds like he's applied the .com analogy to that.
Yeah, it's just... I couldn't believe it, this guy's human rights commissioner.
He belongs in the club, so that's okay.
Yeah.
If he'd been the other way around and been a Muslim New Zealander.
And
this guy still claims that his views on the Israel-Gaza war won't be an issue.
He'd
be a remarkable human being if he could compartmentalise.
Well, he could if he has changed, then he would apologise and said, I was totally wrong, an error, the war needs to stop.
No, he's got a smug look on his face in this photo.
He must be part of Goldsmith's club.
I couldn't believe it. What? Again, am I misreading this?
How are they appointing?
Human Rights Commissioner who supports the Gaza war.
ACT wanted to get rid of the Human Rights Commissioner,
they'd be real pleased with this appointment.
Well, this is probably their compromise. We can't get rid of it because it's a bad look. Let's just load it
with people that might
have a bias.
No one can avoid the bias.
I think he is a member of the club.
But you should declare it. If you're in a position where you have
but
a
he's
bias...
he's quite adamant that his view won't be in conflict with his duties as a human rights commissioner.
Yeah, so does he join pro-Palestinian
marches, this guy obviously doesn't believe in universal human rights.
Selective human rights. Oh, that sounds like... the West, didn't it? Selective human rights.
Yes, but you see his background, eh? He entered politics as a Green Party councillor on Wellington.
I thought so, yeah.
In the 1980s, he has a PhD in political science. In the 2000s, he campaigned for same-sex marriage reform, working for the Rainbow support charity Outline, and was on the board of the New Zealand AIDS Foundation.
What's his name?
Stephen Rainbow.
Has he changed his name?
No, that name is... I've seen that name come up in Australia.
Because Rainbow is a symbol for the gay community.
It's his actual surname.
Yeah. It's Rainbow.
What's the chances of that?
If you look through...
So his credibility at the beginning was quite good, but then he seems like he's changed his...
Progressive, except Palestine. You know, it's like, I'm a decent human being.
Craig just read out his background, the education and things he's done. You think, he seems like a prime candidate. He's the sort of person you need. Now, somewhere along the line,
he just doesn't want to go near the Israeli-Palestine
thing. He's gone beyond that. He's come out and supports it.
Yeah,
but he says, but comments made in 2021 urging other gay and queer people to think twice before signing a petition to ban conversion therapy attracted criticism.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, so. So. Has he become conservative in his views since the 1980s?
Well, it certainly reads that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we'll see how he gets. Give him a chance, but I suppose, proof's in the pudding, I guess, but it just shows. It depends. They'll look the other way for some issues.
Yeah.
And so if there was a candidate who was said something about what's happening to the Palestinians, the chances are they wouldn't get into the select top choosing part, would they?
Yeah. This is what he says over here. We go back to the Israeli Gaza issue. During an interview with Stuff earlier this year, he attacked the Green Party for criticising Israel's attacks on Gaza. He called the party's focus a distraction and said it was turning away voters. In subsequent social media posts, he called on followers to back Israel.
Wow. Well, that's pretty direct. And that was this year?
Yeah, this year. Yeah, right. So very...
So there's no repentance there about...
And he doesn't see a problem?
No.
No, he doesn't see it as a problem, but I'd say it's a major problem.
Mm. I have a problem with any Green around the world, etc., who's a warmonger. Sorry, I tend to be a Green voter, and it really gets my whip when that, what's the lady in the Greens who's
in Germany or over here?
Yeah, in Germany.
I know.
Yeah, there's a real bloody warmongers. You know, the Green Party should be about peace, number one, you know, environment and peace.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it really hard to find anything positive in the week. I'm really, during the news, it's really, now this $1.4 billion cuts will, this is the front.
Is this positive bit before I go on?
No, it ain't positive.
Oh, okay.
I'm just carrying on the theme of cynicism and misery. But the new Health New Zealand Te Whatu Ora Board, it was abolished last month, which prompted a political debate. Whether the health system was badly managed or underfunded. And according to Dr. Lester Levy, the problem with the health system is overspending, not underfunding. And someone...
So is this paying doctors too much money, or is it the cleaner getting paid
just
too
everything.
Much money?
He says that, because he claims that they're overspending by $130 million a month. Now, I'm just trying to find... Oh, the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, ASMS, Virginia Mills, said on the surface, the health service budget increase this year of $1.7 billion, or 6.2%, was significant, but $1.6 billion of that went to capital spending, i.e. buildings and stuff like that, including $1.3 for Historical Holidays Act claims. And the new commissioner has indicated that confidence in finding $1.4 billion in savings from efficiency. We've heard this before.
Yeah.
And he claims it's not going to impact on frontline services.
And I think it already has.
Yeah. Well, it already is.
The problems of it, whether those problems they had with Dargaville Hospital.
But this is nothing new. Back in the 90s when Labor, National were talking about bringing in part charges because we're living, more bang for a buck and all that stuff. This is nothing new, and it's sleight of hand stuff. It's claiming that they're spending too much rather than underfunding. So an article says that points out that excessive governments have underfunded the health sector.
And what does that lead up to? Privatisation.
It's broken.
It would be a lot better if we did
it's broken. We can't fix it.
Basically, everything that Lester Levy touches turns to manure.
Mm.
But that's the classical way of how you do the argument for getting rid of things. It's too expensive.
It's broken.
It's broken. And
that's what they're doing in the UK.
And then they fall over themselves trying to buy the rights to do the profitable parts.
They'll take the cream off the good stuff. Difficult, complicated stuff will be left with the state.
Yeah, the people in Otara will still be, unless the state will pick up the bill, and then a private funder would come in and do it. But, otherwise, they'll then do now, we shouldn't really give health care to all, Do we go down to like in America, just has a wealth care for a wealth care system. It doesn't have a health care, it is a wealth care system. And that's the level of care you get.
Yeah, and this one caught me off because you guys are fond of stats. Guess what the estimated cost of alcohol harm in New Zealand since 2009? $9.1 billion.
Yeah,
900 deaths, 29,000 hospitalizations, and over 129,000 ACC claims duly related to alcohol.
Yeah.
It's staggering, eh?
Yeah.
And this comes on top of the AA over here saying that we need to get younger drivers doing more defensive driving and...
Yeah. And on that defensive driving one, I'm a fan of that because I remember when I was young, you had to have your L plate on your car for a long time. And I still would because, let's face it, there's lots of cars. You have to have it for a certain way to get in your test, then you don't have to have it. Really, you want to know there's an inexperienced driver around.
Yeah, you were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, why, you know, to me that would be really helpful.
You see the L plate and you think, but just back off in case he makes a mistake.
Yeah, and you give them a bit of tolerance.
But in this culture, it's all...
And you go, what the hell's that person doing? Well, if you know they're only 6 months into, a new driver... Yeah, I'll just be careful here.
And of course, the volume of traffic has increased from the time I got our driver license.
Manifestly.
So there's a couple of things on my soapbox.
We used to be learning how to go for a herd of stock and all that. I don't think it was on the license, but it was sort of. I remember getting told by my dad, "This is how you drive for a herd of cows. You don't get too close because they'll kick your lights or your bumper or etc.
Just take it nice and easy.
Just stop and let them go around. All that was now.
Or drive slowly through a flock of sheep. You just say this,
but don't make them panic. And
in this day, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who would do that. They would just go for it.
Yeah, there's a story about my father because he used to do the stop that was taken to the works.
Yeah,
and anybody who would drive fast through the flock of sheep, they just got the dogs just to turn the sheep around like that.
Yeah,
to slow them down.
Yeah. You'd be hard pressed to do it in today's culture.
Interesting. I was in Matamata yesterday, and apart from the obvious wealth that's got, some people are doing quite nicely. Really think they need the tax cuts, but that's another point. They probably don't pay any tax. Anyway, that's another story.
So they're getting a tax cut on top of the tax they're not paying.
But in the old days, I remember Dad saying to this, all the farmers, 1st of June, etc., was a herd moving day for the milkers, the share milkers, and the herds moved around. So all the farm holders on the road frontages, which all had, that always empty their front paddock or two that had gates into the road, because what happened if you have two herds coming to facing each other? How are you going to stop them mixing up? So what would happen is you'd ask the cocky, look, got a herd coming, and they'd put one of the herds in the paddock,
out of the way,
while another one went past. Like that, which there's not as many herds moved on the roads but those sort of things were just common sort of courtesy, was done, And likewise, of course, you did it with your paddock, but when you were moving your herd or whatever, same thing happened.
Generally, I got from the news this week and several weeks, things are going to get worse before they get better. For some. And it'd be the same group of people who get banged every time.
Yeah. But as I say, go back. I sound like a stuck record, but who votes and who doesn't? The people who are getting hammered and are going to be hammered more,
usually don't vote.
Aren't political, don't vote. And unfortunately, the ones who are hammering them do.
Yeah.
And their support base do, And so we're talking about a society where we got nearly, probably under 70% people voted. Guess which 35% didn't vote? A few really elderly and a few maybe migrants who don't understand the language. But there's a big block of people that don't vote. And we saw that in the local elections with the Māori ward.
What,
11%? That was of registered Māori voters. How many Māori aren't registered? So is it 6 or 7% of Māori voted, in the local wards?
Very little. Yeah.
So if we're going to stop this wave of punishment, and I call it punishment because it is, if we're going to stop this wave of selfishness
full participation,
we've got to get the
message
out through.
Get
the message through. These guys aren't there for your welfare.
It's not going to get any better by not participating.
No. The only thing that defends your benefit and your hospital care and all that is the willingness to get out there and vote and stand for it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you'll be paying for it more ways than one.
Well, with Levy in charge, it's going to get a lot worse as far as frontline services in the hospital. They've got to try and find $1.4 billion.
But they don't. A lot of them don't care because they live in Smugsville.
He'll put a
private hospital.
Private health insurance.
Yeah. He owns shares in health businesses. Yeah. Yeah,
but you know what I mean? Right. So they're trying to say this is what you need. This is wealthy, educated, no problem people trying to tell the rest how those things should be done or making rules on them.
Who don't have the resources to meet those.
No, no, and they're not particularly interested in listening to them and listening to their concerns, you know?
Yeah, they don't really give a damn, do they?
No, they don't. No.
Well, some have empathy. And
they would be extreme minority.
But they still don't experience it. Having empathy is great.
It's intellectual as far as...
Empathy, but it's not...
Not emotional.
I know what it's like because I spent 3 years, living on my cousin's couch.
No gut sort of reaction, eh? It's sort of intellectual. So that's me and my soapbox, I'm afraid.
Where's the positive news, Mick? Say nothing on air until you find something positive.
It's going to be a long time...
Is the treaty principles bill dead in the water?
Probably is dead in the water, but the point scoring on it's still well and truly alive.
Reason why I'm saying that is that New Zealand First and National won't support it past the first reading.
Yep.
However, there are murmurings around, even National's ranks, that they do. Some of them do support it.
Of course they do.
I mean at
parliament level.
Yeah.
At politician level. Yeah. Well, let's face it. The Nats, New Zealand First and ACT got the most of their votes on the race card.
Yeah.
And so, and the National has cleverly, in my way, they've tried it a bit up until recently, the Prime Minister's gaffe on...
So is he saying that as a party they won't support it, or is it going to be left to individuals...
As a party,
but there'll be undercurrents.
Because the membership support it. Yeah. You know, the membership were the ones who voted on the race card. And you go to any National Party public meeting and it's very rarely that you will not hear a sling off at Māori mentioned the murmurs of support for it.
Because there was a Facebook posting done by the National Branch of the, Māori electorate, slagging off at Māori. Yeah. And it went out, and there was a lot of reaction to it. It was pulled, but the damage was done.
But they say so. The Nats pretending that it's just ACT making and doing the anti-Māori stuff. Hello, it's actually some of their own membership, or many of their own.
Because there was a big demonstration in Parliament outside Parliament this week.
Council wards and
yeah,
and
yeah.
All that.
There was a comment made by. The so-called MP for Clutha Southern, who stood as a mayoral candidate here some years ago, Joseph Mooney, voicing his support for the principles bill.
Yeah. So what's this about?
It's almost an oxymoron, a principle bill. It's the complete opposite, isn't it? Yeah. It's just open slaver.
What's this about the Prime Minister talking about the treaty and the fact that there was never intended to be a partnership? Okay.
I think he was talking about sovereignty. Maori ceded sovereignty to the crown.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And the crown, in those days, was the British crown.
I just think at the time, we talked about it before. Yeah, it's like the Brits. You've got the Brit. What do they call them in those days? Mick, you're English. What did they used to call themselves? The English. The English. Used to, they were
lying through their teeth.
Yeah, they were trying to get a deal. It's like a used car salesman and bloody everything. They're trying to get you to buy the car. They'll say, yeah, we'll look after it, and yeah, you'll be right, we'll fix that. And I think that's, at the time of the treaty, I'm sure that the words were there, but the people doing the talking, and let's face it, most Māori were illiterate.
They were only mouthing words. They weren't actually involved in the spirit of it.
They were just saying, yeah, you sign this, you'll be all right, Sangi. You'll be all right,
anything,
hear me.
Yeah. Get them to sign on the line.
Get the signing on the dotted line.
Yeah, yeah, but a lot of land...
So the intent from the English side was, absolutely, you sign this, the words we say are, we're all one, kissy, kissy, cuzzy, cuzzy, but the real intent was we need this to stop the frogs, the Frenchies, and the Americans, and everyone else. And,
who were present here?
And then we can colonise. And I'm sure that was the intent.
Yeah, the
what they didn't realise is Maori were quite smart. And
well, they were stupid.
and held that document up fairly and squarely and say, and King Tuhaiti still says it. Just look at the treaty. Read the treaty. That's all we're asking for. Read the treaty. Honour that. That's all we want. You know?
Yeah, they were smarter than what they thought. The British thought. Because they walked all over places like in Africa, Australia, Canada, walked all over all of those indigenous people.
And look at all the treaties that are around the world that have been abused, you know, broken and everything else. The Americans and First Nation people, everywhere. Yeah. So, but I'm sure the intent from the English was they wanted to subjugate that population
because a lot of land had been grabbed pre-treaty site. One piece of land that I know is Clendon Grant, which was grabbed in the 1830s. Yeah.
But I do get Maori. I don't think they were interested in the English sovereignty, but. So the pushes was all about partnership and we're all one people.
We're one people, that's the
argument. But I don't think that was the thought behind the English side of it.
No, they were going to grab everything.
We'll get your natives to sign this and then it's ours.
Yeah, because the French were interested because Pompallier was based at, he was the French bishop at Russell. But they was also concerned that they were had interest at Akaroa, within the French settlement.
Yeah, the Americans were starting to get...
Dutch over here too as well, didn't they?
Not to the same extent.
Were the early... Abel Tasman, of course, and all that.
Yeah, because when they had the sacking at Kororika or Russell... There was a US citizens there. I think there was also a US consul... based there as well.
Well, a lot of our American whaling ships came in, of course. And I had a good friend, Lou Woods, and he was very dark skinned, etc. He used to win lots of bets in the pubs because they all said he's Maori, but he said no, it was actually had European, but one of his ancestors, not that far removed, was a First Nation person from America, which they employed on whaling ships.
That's been one or two of those people floating around. So there's some interesting parts of history there. That was one thing. And I said, we came to the Treaty Principles Bill, or the author of it. Well, he didn't show up at the event at Tauranga Waiwai.
Okay, no.
And his reason was he had to do some parliamentary work. I suspect that he didn't want to be ripped to shreds.
And the coronation had just been held this weekend, which celebrates the King Itanga and the King Tuhaiti in this case. And it's open to all. Europeans can go along. You're more than welcome. It's open to all.
And then the murmuring was that ACT weren't invited. But that was kind of a mistruth because they were invited.
Yeah, and I don't think you can I don't think you can be disinvited you rock up,
But the Principles Bills has caused quite a bit of a stink, so yeah.
Well, it certainly hasn't helped race relations. And I think the polls are out there saying that, you know, people have... know that it hasn't helped race relations.
I think close to 50% said that.
Participate in the system.
Yeah, but of course there's a voting base at present, voted for it, and they, you know, they voted to sort out Māori, and that's what they voted for. So, you know, that's why the Prime Minister and his friends can get away with whatever they like.
It's another reason why people who are against it should be joining that protest or voting... Along those lines.
That's why Te Pāti Māori and etc. and the Māori iwi, etc. You know, and they may well have. I don't know enough about it, but they, you know, the effort should have been really to get Māori to vote in our local, in here in Hamilton, in our little by-election in the Māori ward. You know, they should have pulled all stops to get people to vote, because if they'd got a bigger voting percentage than say the general ward. They could say, look, we need these wards, and look, 40% of our people voted. And people say, well, that's only 40%. So, but you honkers only got 30%.
But that's the issue. How much of it was promoted by Te Pāti Māori?
So, it was, okay. All right. What have I got? Oh, you done? How much time we got?
About 15 minutes.
what was I talking about? Well, go back, just on the treaty thing. I was talking a little bit about it last time, but in the UK about the far right and the so-called far right and the anti-immigrant, anti-migrant, anti-Muslim thing. But and we talked a bit about it, but it's sort of like, isn't it strange that a lot, I imagine, and Mick might have some comment on this, a lot of those that are in the far right, et cetera, their grandfathers and ancestors would have been the troops going around the world, stamping the British Empire onto all these cultures, et cetera, everywhere.
Yep.
And so it's all right for their granddad. I don't think they realised. Their granddad went around and stuffed up cultures all around the world. And now
it's coming home to roost.
It's coming home to roost. And, they can't get that.
I can put my hand up about that. Yeah. I had ancestors that were part of the British Army.
Yeah.
And they were in such
places. A lot would have.
Yeah, they were in such places as Canada.
Yeah.
United States,
yeah,
as well, and there's a recorded as one being actually killed in battle in Florida. Yeah.
But let me think: would they have been wrecking hell out of their cultures, wherever they were?
No.
Chances are, well, at least dominating the culture,
in Canada mainly,
but in India and all around the world. So it's just here we have the modern day Britain, and people saying, "Oh, it's not fair. The migrants are altering our culture
They need to appreciate our values and they'd be welcome."
What do their ancestors do? You know, so it is coming home to bite them,
big time.
It is change.
Big time, yeah.
So yeah, I just thought, yeah. What else did I think? Very interesting Democratic convention.
I saw that.
Basically, all balloons and no Palestine. The Palestine issue was whitewashed as much as possible.
Yeah.
And they spent a fortune on putting fences and meshes up and huge police force to keep any sort of protesters well away.
Yeah.
And they were kept well away, not just 100 yards outside. They were kept kilometres away. So what to be expected? All the big names in the Democrats got up and went...
Rolled out.
Rah-rah. Yeah. And okay, I'm certainly, if it had to be a choice, which is the worst or evil, Trump's going to walk. He's going to get thrashed, in my opinion, unless she really makes...
A boo-boo.
Because
we've got the debate coming up very soon next month, eh?
Yeah, September.
Because there's some criticism is that she hasn't come up with any policies. It's all been rah-rah-rah.
She has to stick to is the freedom of choice for about abortion.
You never reckon they'll get stuck into about the wall.
Yeah. But, okay, the people stuck on the wall aren't going to vote for them anyway.
No,
let's face it, the Democrats were traditionally a working blue collar. So all she has to do, she doesn't really have to worry about the Muslim vote, the Palestine vote, if she can get 10% of the blue collar workers back off Trump.
And
I think that's their plan. I think the Palestine thing is, but we do make a lot of money out of it, and APAC funds an awful lot of our politicians. So as long as we can steer some off the blue collar, we'll just politely, quietly just ignore them.
We don't care about people dying, do we?
And foreign policy between the Republicans and the Democrats
is basically the same.
It's basically the same.
I only listened to some of it because some of it's a bit cringeworthy.
Especially
when they introduce family members and how much they loved them, and thinking, even politicised your family members.
Yeah.
All I can say with that,
and everyone's going, and everyone's all the orders all jumping up and down, ovation, and I think they're talking about tackling Big Pharmac. They've talked about this before. Other electoral years, they've talked about taking on the big corporations and Pharmac. They haven't done anything about it, but they still keep talking about it as if they're going to do something about it, and the audience believes them.
Yeah.
But it hasn't changed.
Well, let's face it, they talk about the poor and we're here for America.
They keep saying that.
Then they go, thank you very much, hop in their big car and go back to their big house.
So that carries on. And the next election year, they say the same things again and people go, right, they're right, you know, and nothing changes.
And then it gets too hot and they go, I think it's time for the Republicans to have a turn, pass the baton, because they're starting to be on to us. So it's like the Republicans. Everyone's starting, we're on to the Republicans. Oh, we'll give this person a turn. But we're still going to keep the same system. We're still going to...
But you think the population would have picked up on this, that they keep saying the same things each time there's an election year and nothing's really changed?
No.
Big Pharmac or... big corporations.
Yeah, nothing changes. And I say, I think people don't.
But they talk as if they're going to do something about it, but they haven't done anything about it.
Well, they don't intend to do anything about it. That's the bottom
problem.
But you think the population will wake up, eh?
Well, I think it has, but Americans, the troubles are not very collective. So
no, they're in and they say the right things, like, Old Glory and the United States, and they go, yeah, yeah, you're right, and they just they get distracted.
Yeah, USA, US, and off they go.
It's individualism.
The freedom, you know, American freedom destroys any sort of collectivism.
Yeah, and I still believe that they're a democracy, as we remembered, only a flawed democracy.
Well, and it's like barely 40% vote.
A flawed democracy.
Yeah, yes.
But they carry on as if they're the leaders of the free world and blah, blah, blah. A flawed democracy.
Yeah.
Biggest belief, right?
They dragged that old Bill Clinton.
Oh. Did he have laryngitis or something? Because his voice was really croaky.
Was he busy shaking one of the statues at the back or what, you know?
I just said Monica Lewinsky, that's all I can say.
Yeah.
So why did they didn't drag out old Jimmy Carter?
I wonder how old Hillary Clinton feels, because, of course, she was thought she was going to be the anointed first president. Whereas now it does certainly looks like Kamala Harris, unless something goes terribly right for Trump. She might well be the president.
Well, we've had other election campaigns when candidates were taken out. 1968, yeah. Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, well, yeah. Look at Trump.
One assassination. They could change the whole... I hope it doesn't happen, but it could easily...
But you never know with that place.
Yeah, but isn't it sad? And this is some of the rationale behind the convention was, safety of the people. So they put them 2 miles back, under the guise, we need to be secure and we don't, in case someone has a gun sort of thing. Crikey.
Because that's where Kennedy was shot. There was a convention.
Oh, yeah.
In 68.
And the Trump thing would have heightened the alert, And, I see a few people have been suspended from their jobs over the Trump air incident.
They're just those types of goats, aren't they? the escape type.
That's how. That's sadly how it is. It's like, we'll have to sack someone. We've done something. But, the Democratic Convention, good on Code Pink and the groups that were there. But, of course, the mainstream media, even our one, of course, didn't report on it, etc. Just stayed away from the whole thing. So, as far as if you were just not interested in the world, sitting there watching the news, having a beer, you would just think, this is how it is. You wouldn't know anything else,
The things that featured on the news were that thing about the council, the thing about the rah-rah parade, and the all-black coach that was left. Those are the things that dominated the news.
That was it last night.
Yeah. Oh, whenever it was. I said, who cares?
Yeah. And that's the pity, because if the news is so... doesn't provide as objective and provide both sides of the story and the whole story, then what it does, it just shuts more and more people out.
Well, it undermines democracy because you're not informing the people, you're only telling what you want them to hear.
Yeah, it's a biased type of TV.
That's what I've got the problem in the UK.
Of course, you have the BBC, it's a shocker.
Once upon a time, the benchmark of journalism, but not anymore.
Yeah, well, that's slipped under the floor.
But the news over here, we said before, is so biased, and they just parrot whatever they get fed from overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not original.
And nothing, anything too controversial. I think the only thing they really got stuck into was about the meth problem in...
Tonga.
Yeah. But she's quite good at that.
She's very good. She's had a couple of ones. She deserves Barbara Driver.
She does her work.
And that was kind of fairly in-depth, because she did her piece and then she was in the studio talking to...
She was at that earlier on.
Because in Fiji as well, they've had big...
Yeah, problems.
She was there as well, so she's been in those two places.
Yeah.
She's one that does her work, as far as I could see.
Because there's issues...
Well, she'd be the exception, though, wouldn't she?
Yeah, but they're urgently asking for New Zealand to try and help, do more to help, because it's quite a pandemic and epidemic. So, and of course, there was a connection. People say, I imagine Mr. Prime Minister Luxon would think, well, it's nothing to do with us, it's on the fringe. But actually, where's the largest Tongan community outside Tonga?
It's in this country.
Where's the largest Fijian community outside Fiji?
In this country,
You know what I mean? And what do we do? The relationships, they still go backwards and forward, etc. So what's happening in Fiji, what's happening in Tonga, affects what's happening in New Zealand.
Because there was a person called Ned Cook. And they said he was allegedly killed over there when he was on the street because it's to do with this.
Yeah.
But didn't he? I'm sure it's the same person who ran the Pacific Islanders Addiction Service in Frankton.
Okay.
I think that was him.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're trying, but they're facing
funding cuts. They haven't got the funds to keep going.
Oh, we've heard that before. Yeah. Oh, New Zealand.
And of course, there's smaller populations, everyone knows each other, etc. So a lot of these so-called drug dealers are also family members and all sorts of things. So very hard to sort out. It's quite a tragedy, ongoing tragedy. Mm. And the other thing I want to talk about, we go back to Palestine and Israel. At present, the Israelis keep having these safe areas, which they continually violate and kill people at random. Meanwhile, the Democrats were dropping balloons. While the Israelis are dropping bombs, but that's beside the point. But the Palestinians that are left alive in Gaza. They've only got 11% of the area to be in designated areas. 90% have been displaced. Mm-hmm. They're not quite sure, but they've got 30,000 to 40,000 people camped per square kilometre that they're allowed
to
be in.
Some people are actually living in cemeteries.
Oh, yeah.
They're running out of room.
There's basically Palestinians left in 11% of the Gaza Strip. So 40 square kilometres.
Shooting fish in a barrel. They keep pushing them into so-called sobers and then go and bomb it. Yeah.
And there's actually, it was in CNN, but there's a very good, sad article about the water that Israel has been targeting. The water supplies because I think it's like the old days, you have your gun beside the water creek. There's no water, but only one water hole. You wait for the animal to come, and you shoot it. And I'm sure that's their thinking. Yeah.
Now on top of it, they've got a polio epidemic.
Yeah, they talked about that.
First child paralysed from polio.
Polio, yeah.
Yeah, that's shockers. I'm sorry, and the West is a disgrace for.
And our government, we're very much.
We might be on the other side of the world, but we could actually do something.
We are supposed to be part of the human race.
And we have an obligation under the Genocide Act to prevent it, do all you can. So we're calling the Israeli ambassador. We're saying to Israel, right, that's it. You guys, you're over the line. It's complicated.
It's down to trade. Money.
Well, it's complicated and we can't, and there's that underlying, they remember the Holocaust, we can't go there, so
we need to go there.
We need to go. These are people who are doing this in the name of the Jewish homeland, murdering, maiming, destroying a culture.
Yeah.
And that's sad. It's sad for every Jewish person in the world. And it's sad and a disgrace. For the human race,
we can replicate. People who know the history would say, "Well, this is exactly what happened in Cambodia. This is what happened in Poland, and this is what happened there, here, here, and here."
But it's just the hypocrisy of America that keeps, like Kamala Harris, typical example. Oh, it's terrible what's happened in Gaza, but it's her party, it's her government that has sent all the bombs to Israel. They could have stopped this a lot earlier. Certainly put so much pressure on them by saying, we're not giving you any more stuff.
And they still spout out that they want a peace settlement and it gets hospitals home.
To their advantage.
It's peace Israel. Pax Romana was Roman peace. I don't know what the Latin would be for peace Israel, but Pax something.
It's only one-sided peace.
One-sided.
Yeah.
And she keeps saying, well, we need to have a settlement so that the Palestinians can have a secure... somewhere to live and all dignity and right of self-determination. Thinking, well, that doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't add up. And they don't ever talk about...
She must have looked at a map.
What happened to the Israeli hostages? Always, it's about let the hostages release. We need the hostages home. What about the 9,000 Palestinians
held in all sorts
of prisons in Israel?
And torture.
Abuse
and all sorts of things.
Bloody disgraceful.
Similar as that.
Yeah.
And that's us.
Right, see you next week.
See you next week.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.